Hello, 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 hello. Welcome to a new episode of Superhero Deep Dive. As always, I am your host, Jason. I have a new episode scheduled for you today. It's actually pretty interesting. I'm kind of excited on where this is going because I love the character. Let me get my disclaimers out of the way and we will get into it. So, the information is pulled from different sources across the internet and may or may not be completely complete, but they do give a really good insight on the current superhero. You can catch me every Tuesday and Thursday throughout the day on Outworld Fleet Radio. Their website is outworldfleetradio.online. You can catch me on Twitter and Instagram under Super Deep Dive. You can catch me on TikTok and YouTube under Superhero Deep Dive. Please comment, like, subscribe, share, hit that notification bell, all that good stuff. I love having conversations with you guys about your ideas for the superheroes. I also love it when you input your own like fun facts, opinions, your own ideas about things, or if you have requests for future episodes. And you can also email me directly, which I do get quite frequently at b4itall@yahoo.com. All right, so let's talk about Dust. She's an X-person, X-men, X-woman, X-person, X-bean. She's really awesome. Her real name is Soraya Kadir. Now, if I mispronounce anything in here, please don't take offense. It's not intentional. I actually went and watched a couple things on her as well, and I heard a couple different pronunciations. So if I mispronounce it, I'm sorry. It's not as a sign of disrespect. But anyways, Soraya Kadir, she is a Sunni Muslim girl and an ethnic Pashtun who possesses the mutant power to turn herself into a sand-like substance. Native to Kandahar, Afghanistan, Soraya is kidnapped by a slave trading ring after she is separated from her mother. While one of her slavers tries to remove her niqab, she instinctively lashes out with her powers and flays them alive with her dust form before passing out. That is insane. That is a crazy display of power. She is subsequently discovered and rescued by Wolverine and Phantom X. Wolverine takes her to the X Corporation branch office, and Soraya hides herself from the X-Men stationed there by turning into sand and spreading herself around the complex. Phoenix senses Soraya's presence and telepathically convinces her to reveal herself to everyone present. Soraya reforms and announces her presence by speaking a single word, Tarab, which is Arabic for dust or sand. Ultimately, Dust is enrolled in the Xavier Institute in Westchester County, New York. Soraya is initially placed into Zorn's special class and is picked on by Zorn for standing by her faith and allegedly placing its importance over the cause of mutants. This is insane and this is crazy. This is awesome and I'm going to be addressing that too. Alright, Frightened. She then alerts Professor X to Zorn's true identity. She attempts to use her powers to do so, but Zorn manages to defeat her and Xavier. Quiet and nervous, she experiences difficulty adapting to her new surroundings, particularly after being given the loud and rebellious Noriko as a roommate. Soraya and Noriko often come to disagreements over the traditional garb, which Noriko believes to be an affront to women's rights. After leadership of the school goes to Emma Frost and Cyclops, Soraya is made a member of the Hellions training squad. She opts to observe Islamic hijab rather than wear the standard training costume, though it does bear the standard X insignia. She forges a friendship with Icarus, and he asks her to the school dance, but she declines since the idea of the dance made her uncomfortable, though she did not feel insulted by his asking. Nor did Icarus feel insulted due to her rejection. After winning the field day competition with the rest of the Hellions and the academic year ended, Hellion, who is Julian Keller, I do have him on my list to cover, had invited the Hellion squad to his home in Los Angeles for summer vacation. While there, the Hellion squad meets the Kingmaker, a powerful criminal with the power to make dreams come true through favors and connections, but for whom favors are expected in return. When each of the Hellions agreed to the deal, Soraya's wish was to find her mother. The Kingmaker finds Soraya's mother and arranges for a trip back to Afghanistan so that Soraya can meet up with her. She is soon flown back to LA to deliver on her part of the deal, which is stealing an advanced bioweapon, which they learn later will be sold to Dr. Octopus in New York. The Hellion Squad breaks their deal with the Kingmaker and ends up destroying the weapon. As a result, Soraya loses her connection to her mother as she learns she has been moved again with no hope of tracking her, leaving her devastated. Wow. Wow. Like, this girl is true to her faith. She's pretty pure of heart. This is cool stuff. Like, this is a really good foundation for her. Now, after Wanda Maximoff depowered over 90% of the mutant population, thereby reducing the population of Xavier students to only 27, which included Dust, the squad system has been dissolved and the remaining students have been merged into one large group. She is also paired with, as roommates with X-23. Soraya becomes a target of William Stryker's crusade against the Xavier Institute as he expresses his need to eliminate the Muslim. Icarus gives her a note, which X-23 tells Soraya not to trust as Icarus smells like death. In reality, Stryker wishes to eliminate her because Nimrod has a vision of an altered future in its memory banks, which shows Dust defeating all the purifiers during their planned future attack on the school. Wallflower was previously killed by the purifiers because of Nimrod's portrayal of her ability to turn the tide of the fight with her pheromones. Upon entering the church of Reverend Stryker, she is shown being shot down, though it is later revealed to be X-23 wearing one of Soraya's niqabs. Learning the purifier's true intentions and that she was tricked into leading Soraya to her death, Icarus is killed by Stryker. When Stryker's team infiltrates the school, Dust awakens in the bathroom, having been knocked out by X-23, and she enters the fight and surprises Stryker, single-handedly defeating most of his purifiers and severely wounding Stryker's follower Matthew Risman. She, with the help of the rest of the new X-Men, later defeat Nimrod, Stryker's backup plan for destroying the mutants. The Institute holds a memorial for the students lost during M-Day, and Soraya cries with Icarus' mother when she comes to the Institute and apologizes for not being able to do more to save her son. His mother tells her that Icarus thought that she was a beautiful person. While Hellion and X-23 go off to rescue Mercury from the facility, Soraya is left at the mansion but learns vital information from Pixie of what happened. Soraya immediately tells Nori and David Aline what she knows. Dust and the remaining team are about to leave the Institute but are stopped by Shadowcat, who brings them in for the time to tell them about the whereabouts of their teammates and friends. The Astonishing team and the remaining X-Men, accompanied by the ONE Sentinel, go off to the facility to rescue Hellion, X-23, and Mercury. Dust is shown praying to God or Allah. No disrespect. Whatever they pray to, whoever they pray to, I believe it's Allah. But I could be wrong, and if I am, I'm sorry. But Dust is shown praying before being teleported with the other students to Limbo, where she is held captive by Belasco and his demons. X-23 breaks free and urges Dust and Mercury to join her in fighting Belasco. Dust is too afraid of Belasco, believing him to be the devil, but when X-23 is seemingly killed, Dust breaks free and attacks Belasco, saying that if she is to die in a battle against the devil, she would make Allah proud. Dust and Mercury fight with Belasco and manage to hold their own due to the fact that their transient forms give them limited resistance to Belasco's magic. When Surge and Hellion arrive, the two girls are exhausted and can only watch as Belasco tries to pull Earth into Limbo. He fends off every student of the Xavier Institute until he is slain by Pixie and the Dark Child. Dust is part of the new X-Men in a training session supervised by Beast that goes up against the Hulk when he comes to the mansion. She attacks him in her sand form after he defeats Hellion, but she too is defeated when Hulk pulls a water pipe up from the ground and sprays water at her, taking her out of the fight. She is also quizzed by Pixie about her beliefs and choice of dress as her shoulder fixed by has her shoulder fixed by Beast after it is dislocated during the fight with Belasco. She also checks on Julian, who is Hellion, at the urging of Mercury, and after Nori kisses him, regrouping after their failed attack under the leadership of Matthew Risman, the Purifiers are keeping track of the escaped Predator X. Horribly scarred by Dust's attack, Matthew is fixated on training Predator X to seek out and kill Soraya by using Abaya's and Niqab's bearing some recognizable quality of hers and possibly her scent. While being trained to seek out and kill Dust, Predator X senses the mutant it was originally created to destroy, which is the unknown mutant featured in X-Men Messiah Complex, and the Purifiers follow. Soraya neglects to join her teammates in raiding the Purifiers' most important base in DC merely because she thinks that her squad leader, Surge, is out for vengeance and that she is only ambushing the Purifiers for the baby as an afterthought. She stays at the mansion alongside Elixir and David and the remainder of the student body while the other new X-Men and the X-Men armor leave. We did a deep dive on armor. She is awesome, by the way. Later, the mansion's Megatron Sentinel Guard are taken over completely by Nano Sentinel technology, causing them to battle the X-Men. As Hepzibah, Warpath, Bishop, and the student Nesno fight the Sentinels, Dust appears and Cyclops orders her to enter the Sentinels and find out what is going on and stop it if she can. She does, but she runs into the pilots who have been turned into updated versions of Prime Sentinels and they repel her. Dust frantically runs to Cyclops as infantry arrives in the form of X-23 and Iceman. They manage to severely damage the human Sentinel hybrids, and when the new X-Men are home alone with Beast, she, Mercury, and Rockslide go put flowers on the graves of their deceased friends, only to find Predator X eating the corpses. That's nasty. And that's just gross. Like, that's beyond the limits of good taste. Alright. Oh, goodness. The three new X-Men battle with Predator X until Surge arrives, taking the Beast on by herself as the other three warn the others. After an intense battle across the remains of the school, Pixie teleports Predator X, herself, Dust, and the rest of the X-Men's final battle against the Marauders on Muir Island. On Muir Island, Dust is crucial in the success of the battle against the Marauders. She helps take out the massively powerful and dangerous Exodus by entering his body in her sand form and lacerating his lungs while he was distracted by Emma Frost. Dang, that's crazy. Dust is amongst the several X-Men helping to fight off Skrulls during their invasion of San Francisco. She teams with Pixie and uses her sand form alongside Pixie's teleportation to strategically provide cloud cover and evacuation for various other X-Men engaging in battle. She also pairs with Mercury, Pixie, and the members of X-Force in a decoy attempt at capturing a Skrull. Now, sometime after Cyclops disbanded the Institute, Soraya had returned to Afghanistan. Soraya is seen driving a group of militant guerrillas from a small town and declaring the town to be under her protection, with the guerrilla thinking she is some sort of extension of Allah's wrath. Shortly afterwards, Cyclops appears, asking her to return to New York to join his new team of young X-Men. Unaware that Cyclops was actually Donald Pierce in disguise, the young X-Men proceeded with their first mission to take down a new Brotherhood of Mutants, supposedly composed of the original New Mutants. In the ensuing battle against Magma, who we did a deep dive on, a blast of flame turns Dust Sandform into glass. Oh, that's insane! Soraya's glass form is later shattered into hundreds of glass fragments in a battle between Donald Pierce and Gray Malkin. That is nuts! That is nuts! And I'm pretty sure something like this has happened with the Sandman, the Spider-Man villain. You know, so if you need a visual, think of a female version of Sandman, because that's what it is. But anyways, however, Magma used her powers to return the glass back into sand, and Soraya is able to revert to human form. I don't know how that is, because, I mean, can you, I guess if you melt the glass? But then it's just molten glass, right? Like, I mean, did it completely change form? I'm not sure. But realizing that they were used by Pierce, the young X-Men and former New Mutants defeat Pierce, albeit with the death of Wolf Cub, and Soraya joins the real X-Men in San Francisco. During a conversation with the now incarcerated Pierce, Soraya revealed to him that she is dying. It is later revealed during a confrontation with the Y-Men, that part of her arm still appears to be locked in glass form. Her condition is worsening as more of her body turns to glass. Beast conducts tests and confirms her prognosis, giving her less than a week to live. She demands that this be kept a secret despite Beast's offer to find a way to save her. She later has a final conversation with Donald Pierce, who offers to save her in return for his release, stating that he has since grown to appreciate Soraya and their conversations. However, when the X-Men try to stop them, during the confrontation, Dust is found by Danielle Moonstar dead. Her body is then prepared for burial, though Ink intends to use his untested Phoenix Force tattoo to revive her. It succeeds, as it does, you know, and Dust is revived, though the strain leaves Ink catatonic. Dust happily rejoins her teammates, and her revival convinces the young X-Men not to disband. Dust is seen with Emma and Mercury, and then is shown fighting Wither. When Onyx is killed by Kevin, she is shown mourning him. Dust is also seen as part of the second team defending the Golden Gate Bridge from Nimrod Sentinels from the future. She, along with Magma, Rockslide, Namor, and Colossus, attempt to hold the Nimrod position and prevent them from reaching Utopia. Due to her silicon-based sand form, during the Curse of Mutant storyline, Dust is assigned to a tough-skinned team of X-Men to defend Utopia against a vampire invasion force. Which makes sense, because vampire can't bite her if she's in sand form, right? I mean, just doesn't make sense. So, initial solicits for the post-Schism X-Men split showed Dust siding with the majority of younger X-Men and moving to Westchester as part of Wolverine's team. She was seen on the Blackbird ready to leave, and she was seen walking away on the side of Wolverine in the caveman metaphor sequence in the X-Men Regenesis one-shot. However, as of the release of Wolverine and the X-Men number 1, Dust is nowhere to be seen and does not appear on the roster. With the release of Uncanny X-Men Volume 2 number 1, Dust is shown still residing in Utopia and a part of the San Francisco street team under Dazzler. Dust is also seen among her fellow students in a class session in X-Men Legacy 260.1. Dust appears again as a part of the recruits in the X-Men Legacy number 262 on Cyclops' team, who came to aid Wolverine's team against Exodus alongside Surge and Generation Hope. So basically, she's just getting thrown everywhere. she's on more team than Wolverine at this point. It's explained in X-Men Legacy 263 that Dust originally went to Westchester but changed her mind and returned to Utopia before the events of Uncanny X-Men number 1 volume 2. Upon learning many pre-adult superheroes have been falsely outlawed by the crusade of Senator Jeffrey Patrick and Cradle, similar to what happened to the mutants back in the 1990s, Dust and Cyclops rushes back to help the surviving champions and clear Kamala's name from being used for an unjust law until Viv, Vision, and Braun discovers Roxxon has been orchestrating the event behind Senator Patrick's back and reveals the footages behind the shady law to the public, including the senator. Thus, the governments revoke the law and dissolve their partnership with Roxxon, which completely occur in the conclusion of Killer App. Wow, there's so much that's going on there. It's insane. So, in line with Soraya's character, as a traditional Muslim, she chooses to don a loose-fitting black dress with a niqab covering her face. Soraya explains to her mother that she dresses this way because of the modesty it offers her from X-Men, and never did it because of the Taliban's enforcement of hijab on women. Her mother is happy that she lives somewhere where she is able to make those choices, unlike in Afghanistan. Characters in the comics often refer to Dust's traditional Muslim outfit as a burqa. However, the outfit Dust wears is an abaya with a niqab for her face, an ensemble originating in and worn mostly by Muslim women in the Persian Gulf states of the Middle East. In the new X-Men Volume 2, number 42, Gentle is the first to get it right while correcting fellow student Pixie. So this is cool. You know, I'm gonna be transparent. I'm a devout Christian. I'm very open-minded, though, so I am not judging anything, but I am admitting my ignorance to the Muslim faith, because, you know, I just am. So, I gotta say, though, with her, I love that she is doing things maybe in a traditional way, but she is doing them for her own reasons and not because of, you know, well, this has been imposed, so I'm just going to follow along. She's doing it for her own reasons. Like, she's like, I'm going to comply, but it's my decision to comply and no one else's. And I respect that. I also really respect that when she was, at death's door, she was like, you know, well, praise be to who she worships, and that was her faith was her back, backing, you know, that's really cool, and I respect that. So, what do you guys think? Like, her history is crazy though, right? Because she has been instrumental in everything that she's been involved in, and they keep trying to get her involved in other stuff. The only problem I have with the character, and I don't know if it's maybe her culture or not, and I'm not talking about just the Muslim culture or belief system. I'm talking about, I have no idea how her upbringing was. I mean, it was obviously rough in Afghanistan. She led a guerrilla force. She, when she got her start, when her powers first manifested, she was doing it to protect her mom, from slave trading. So there's obviously a lot of hurt. There's a lot of toughness there, but she has gone and like lacerated Exodus's lungs. Like, that's intense. Her powers manifested, she flailed someone. There's no real mention in her history about showing regret or remorse. It's just kind of like she had to do what she had to do and she accepts that. Which makes me wonder if that's just a product of where she was at the time. Like, you know, like, what does that do to her psychologically? Did that just make her unfeeling for the most part? Did it just make her hard, you know? And that's why it's maybe easier for her to dismiss people that she may like or have feelings for, or someone that may have feelings for her, like Icarus, for instance, you know, because she's learned she's had to compartmentalize. I don't know. Let me know what you think in the comments. There's gotta be more to this than what I saw. And I love the character. I think the character is amazing. So let me know. Email me at b4itall@yahoo.com. Catch me on Twitter, X, Instagram under Super Deep Dive. Or you can comment on YouTube under Superhero Deep Dive. You know, like, subscribe. I post videos multiple times a week. I post memes every day. So check me out. It's definitely worth a follow. But I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts. Let me get into her powers, though. So Dust is a transmorph, able to transform herself into an explosive cloud of sand-like silicon particles and maintain control of her sand form. She can reform her normal body at will or maintain an aerial-based sand form in the shape of her human body. Her sandstorm form is resistant to most forms of injury. The form makes her hard to detect telepathically, according to Jean Grey and Professor X, and that's probably because she's dispersed in all these sand particles. But she is also resistant to magic. She can use the form to attack, for instance, scouring the flesh from her enemy's bones like a sandstorm, as well as enter people's lungs and scouring them from the inside. That's just scary. Like, that is a scary power set, or scary way she implemented her powers. Fun facts. Dust appears in the Wolverine and the X-Men. She first appears in the episode Hindsight, Part 1, where she is a captive of the Mutant Response Division. She and others are freed by Wolverine, and Dust uses her mutant abilities to take out some Mutant Response Division jets. She also appears in Greetings from Genosha, where she informs Nightcrawler about Magneto's underground cells. Later on, she ends up in Magneto's underground cells as a prisoner. Dust also makes a brief cameo in Deadpool's ending in Marvel vs. Capcom 3, Fate of Two Worlds. And in the X-Men The Last Stand novel by Chris Claremont, Soraya is mentioned by Rogue. So she hasn't had a lot of history. I mean, you know, it's just... what do you do? Well, speaking of that, let's get into final thoughts, because this is crazy. Alright, so Dust has always been a character that I've loved. She's got the stigma around her that she's got to constantly overcome, regardless of if it's deliberate or not. And it's just human nature with it, you know? After the events of 9/11 and stuff, Muslims were immediately put in this negative light. And they have to overcome that. And they've been battling to overcome it in positive ways. And then you've had the negative ones. Just like any people. You know, and this isn't like me speaking as a Christian. This is me speaking as a human. There are good and bad no matter what you believe. There are good and bad atheists. There are good and bad Christians. There are good and bad Muslims. There are good and bad everyone. It doesn't matter. There are good and bad Jewish people. They're good and bad Hindu. They're good and bad Sikh and good and bad Buddhist. It doesn't matter. There's good and bad in every group. You know, you just have to overcome the bad with the good. So essentially, she was portrayed as an outcast in a group of outcasts. Like, she wasn't just a mutant. She was a Muslim mutant. And that's something hard to deal with. That and her powers... absolutely wicked. Like, she can rip the flesh off the bone if she wanted. She can eat you from inside out. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine how it would feel. Like, I mean, it's got to be like a fire inside of you just bursting out, like attacking your lungs with the sand and then just working its way outward. That's insane. But what would you do with this character? It's a really delicate subject, and to be honest, I don't really know. I want to say, for storytelling purposes, that she gets so fed up with the stigmas around her heritage and her beliefs and things that she ends up lashing out. But that would just reinforce those negative stereotypes, and it would make for really difficult storytelling because it can easily look like you're projecting this onto a whole group of people that don't deserve it. You know, like I said, you know, there's a lot of negativity surrounding the Muslim faith. I'll be honest, I've only met a few, and you know, I live in the Bible Belt, so it's just not as common. But the ones I've met have all been great people, like great hearts, really good natured, you know. It's just, I have no reason to hate. But with that being said, like, you know, like, it's almost like if she gets so fed up with the stigmas that she ends up lashing out, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know. And that's really hard to deal with something like that, because you're dealing with people's faith. And with that, you're kind of involving inadvertently a whole group, and you have to be careful. But it's also really hard to have her be a champion when it's related to her culture too. Like, because I simply just don't know enough about it. You know, and that's on me. Like, that's my ignorance. It's an ignorance I have, and it's not because of a lack of research, but rather a lack of experience. I have found that when it comes down to it, what you read is not always what really happens culturally. That's why I'm legitimately stuck on what to do with this amazing character. And let me just give a little background. I actually come from a mixed race family. My mother's side is predominantly Japanese. My father's side is very, very Caucasian. Not in a negative way, just like they are white mixed with white. You know, it's very Caucasian. I don't look Asian at all. But I can see where, you know, a lot of cultures have this. And, you know, maybe my grandparents didn't hold on to like a lot of traditional Japanese culture. I don't know, because they've been passed. I know that there's some things that were kept and there were some things that weren't. And I know other Asian households that aren't, they respect the culture, but it is not as ingrained as you would think. So I know from experience that a lot of Asian cultures are not as they are written, because they are written in such a way to make you think that it's more ingrained and more centralized than it may actually be. I could be wrong, because this is just my personal experience and those from around that I've seen, but this is what I have to go with. That's why it's really hard for me to think of something with Dust, because her faith is a central part of her character, but I don't really know how to translate that on to any other media. I would love to know what you guys think. So please let me know if you're watching on YouTube, you know, or if you're not, catch me on YouTube under Superhero Deep Dive. Like, comment, subscribe, share this with friends, help me grow the channel. I'm constantly trying to grow and build the community, but I would absolutely love your thoughts on the character, what you like about her, what you don't like, what you think could be done with her, because she's an amazing character and she deserves more than what she has. I just don't know how to give her more than what she has, if that makes sense. But you can also catch me on Twitter, X, or what's the other one? Instagram under Super Deep Dive. You can catch me on TikTok. I post superhero memes daily on TikTok under Superhero Deep Dive. You can email me directly at b4itall, so b4itall@yahoo.com. I would love to hear what you guys think. Like I said, let me know, because I love the character, but I am legitimately stuck. But I think that's going to do it for me now. I hope everyone is blessed. I hope everyone's happy. I hope everyone is safe. I hope everyone is smart. But if you're not smart, don't get caught. See you guys later. Bye-bye.